May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from. May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wassalamu ala khatamin nabiyyin. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome to another inspiring episode on this silsila, Spiritual Cures. Wherever you are in the world, we hope that you and your family are safe and sound. But don't forget, when you are making dua, make dua for the ummah as well. Make dua to Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, that for the sake of the beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam, that he Azza wa Jal grants relief to the ummah, that he Azza wa Jal grants shifa, cure to those who are sick and suffering from whatever type of ailment, and that he Azza wa Jal grants protection against the oppressors. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we have some calls, we have some questions with regards to different things, maybe different problems, whether if invocations are required. So stay tuned, who knows? Maybe one of these questions will be in your mind as well. And inshallah al-Kareem, we'll try to provide some kinds of Madani pearls of advices. We'll try to provide some invocations, some incantations, awrad and wada'if as well, inshaAllah ta'ala. Let's recall the beautiful hadith, niyatul mu'mini khayrum min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. Let's make some good intentions. O Allah Azza wa Jal, I am watching, I am listening to the silsila for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of your beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam. What I learn, I will try to practice and share with others as well, inshaAllah al-Kareem. It's very handy if you have a notebook, you have a diary, and then you jot down the important Madani pearls, you jot down the wada'if. We try to keep it brief, sweet and short, primarily according to the research of His Eminence, the Kamil Wali of Allah Azza wa Jal, Amir-e Ahl Sunnah, Dawud Barakatum Al-Aliyah, the founder of Dawud Islami, a great scholar of Islam, who is followed by tens of millions around the globe. So make notes, and you can use that book as a reference book. So in future, if you are going through that difficulty, you can look at it, you can go over the notes as well, or you can share it with others. InshaAllah Azza wa Jal. As they say, ink is the best memory. And Sayyiduna Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, capture knowledge by writing it down. SubhanAllah Azza wa Jal, there are so many wonderful blessings for reciting Salat ala Nabi, Durud-e Pak. This must be part of our daily routine. In fact, we need to create a mindset. What mindset? That specifically for my own benefit, and of course those around me as well, I need to reconnect to the glorious Qur'an. Do you know the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, خَيْرُ الدَّوَاءِ Al-Qur'an, the best medicine is the Qur'an. But if I am not reciting the Qur'an, how can I get the benefit then? How can I get reward? Just for looking at the glorious kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the words, the letters, they thawab, there's reward in it. So make your mindset that every day, take out some time. Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatum Al-Ali advises us, start with three verses. How long that will take? Few minutes only. But also for understanding and for a deeper insight. Also go over the English translation from Kanzul Iman and the English commentary from Miftahul Ihsan. That was done by the great scholar Mufti Abdul Nabi Hamidi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. Allah grant him a high station in the hereafter. But these materials are available, hard copy and soft copy as well. And every day, recite as much Durud-e Pak as you can. Every day, make istighfar, make sincere tawbah, turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Renew and refresh your iman on a daily basis. Keep your tongue moist with the dhikr of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do your best to abstain from sins. To be punctual with your daily salahs, perform them properly. Fulfill rights of others, practice upon the sunnah. learn a sunnah for the day, a dua for the day, or something of deen for the day, and obey Allah and His Rasul, Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The last Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, has said that the one who recites durood salat upon me 50 times every day, I will shake hands with him on the day of judgment. Tell me who does not want that privilege, that great fortune to touch the blessed hands of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do we know what to do? Read durood pak. If you are in parishani, in worry, anxiety, stress, read durood sharif. Read the glorious Quran. Read zikrullah. Inshallah al-Kareem, this will help to calm you down as well. But read with the intention of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and gaining a reward. Then it will help inshallah azza wa jal. We will request our wonderful director and team to please go ahead with the first call. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
MashaAllah, nice program. Maulana Sahab, I just wanted to know, how does gambling affect one's family? Jazakumullah khaira.
Ameen wa iyyakum. Gambling. Allah. Before we go to the evils that accompany this haram act, we need to understand something. And this goes for anything, whether it is gambling, whether it is drugs, whether it is alcohol, music, pubs, clubs, all this filth that is out there. Number one, if my deen has prohibited it, if my Allah Azza wa Jal, my beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sharia, the Islamic sacred law, if it has forbidden it, if it has been classified as haram, as prohibited in the law of Allah and His Rasul Azza wa Jal Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that is enough for us. But yes, there are many negative consequences apart from piling sins upon sins. Too many. You see, we need to understand something. That whatever Islam prohibits, whatever Islam has made haram, has forbidden, it is because it is not healthy for us. It is not good for us human beings and Muslims in particular. And if you look at the lifestyle of those who do these things, who engage, who indulge in things like gambling, you'll come to understand very quickly the evils of it. There's social evils, there's emotional, psychological harm. Take for example, a person, a Muslim, deep down, knows that this is haram, this is forbidden. And if they still go and do it, there are feelings of regret, feelings of failure that plague their emotions and their mind. So psychologically, they harm themselves. Emotionally, they harm themselves. Look at the health aspect. The person is stressed out. The person gets reduced sleep because of worry, anxiety, anxiety attacks. The person would slip into depression. And then there's relationship harm. There's conflicts within relationships. There's neglect of responsibilities. The man is going to, some people, part of their budget, okay, maybe every month I can take out 100 rand. Na'udhu billahi min dhalik, and go and gamble with that. Maybe I'll strike it lucky. My brother, my sister, even if a person does strike it lucky, what are you going to do with that haram wealth? It is forbidden. How are you going to use it? To buy clothes for yourself? For your children? To buy food? Are you going to use that haram to buy food, to nourish your bodies and your children? And then when they end up disobedient and rebellious, and stubborn and against you, we want to find out what is happening. Maybe I'm the cause of it. Maybe because of me earning from haram sources and using that haram to buy food and clothing and to pay the bills, there's consequences there. For every evil act, there are certainly consequences that we need to think about. Sometimes a person can go to extreme lengths and mortgage their house or their whole salary. They will withdraw the money and go and gamble, because some people are addicted to it. Yes, how people get addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol, addicted to bad habits. Many people are addicted to gambling. I'm going to make it. Next time I'm going to strike it lucky. Next time. And the halal money, wasting and flushing it down. Allahu Akbar. And you know, it harms a person's work as well, or a person's study. There's a reduced performance, maybe because of tiredness, maybe because of stress, not sleeping properly, maybe because of being absent from the work, from the school or the college. Many harms, many evils it comes with. And today people, they play the lottery. They say, no, it's just 2 rand or 5 rand or small amounts of money. But imagine if 1,000 people or 1,000,000 people put down 5 rand. How rich are you making those people that are in charge of the lottery or whatever other kind of gambling is out there? Even in your these games that they have, card games and board games or whatever it is, gambling takes place there as well. Even in sports, gambling and betting takes place. Horse races, in different types of sporting events, people put their bets. This is how those players earn enormous amounts of money, millions, because of behind the scenes gambling. So be careful of these things. And you know, the people who run these gambling dens and different kinds of gambling initiatives, they've created so many even subtle ways as well. Let me give you an example. If you receive a message that if you answer on your phone, right, you answer correctly and you submit your answer through an SMS, through a WhatsApp message, and you stand the chance to win a car, or you stand the chance to win so much of money, or whatever it may be, or fuel for the year, Allahu Akbar. Now you think about it carefully. That SMS you're going to send, it's going to cost you something. Even if it's very little, but it's going to cost you something. 1,000,000 people will send that SMS. How much the gambling masters are making. You're going to send that WhatsApp message. You're going to use data. You're going to use this, which is costing you. Even if it's a little bit amount, but it's costing you. You don't know whether you're going to win or not win. How they've created that system. So this gambling is one of those social evils that is secretly eating our society like termites. Believe me, it has broken many people. It has destroyed hundreds of thousands of families and individuals. And most of the gamblers out there, they start gambling with little amounts of money. Like the person who became a drunkard. Euphemistically, they call them problem drinkers. How did they start off? A little bit. And then slowly they increased. The drug addict as well. He started off with a little bit. The body gets addicted to it. Those substances, those chemicals. And then they start increasing. They start spending more money on those bets, on those slot machines or whatever type of gambling it is. Whatever type of gambling. All of it is forbidden in Islam. Then the habit becomes difficult for them to leave. A person loses their reputation. Yeah, he's a gambler. Huh? He loses his money. He's a gambler. The reputation, it takes so long to build your reputation in society, amongst your peers, amongst your friends, amongst your family members. Just like that, the reputation can fall to the ground and get dragged through the mud. Gamblers face financial crisis, and many of them are forced to then take loans on interest. So see how this gambling, which is haram, is opening doors to other haram and forbidden avenues. Because it's always in the mind, I'm going to win big. One day, I'm going to win that big prize. But they keep sinking deeper into the swamp of sins. They waste their time, precious time. Death doesn't worry about which place we are at or what we are doing. And so these are ways of training the mind. If the person in your family is a gambler, continue advising them. Even if they don't listen, continue advising them. That's our responsibility, our duty. We want what's best for them. So continue advising them, especially on the consequences, the great harms that we mentioned, that the mental harm, emotional, psychological, family harm, work, etc., right? Financial harm. All of these things, keep reminding them. They may not like it, but one day, and make dua for them as well. And tell them to make dua for themselves to get rid of this nasty, evil habit, because it opens up many other doors as well. Person ends up getting frustrated by losing their money. They could lose their job. They could lose their business. It's going to affect their domestic life. They'll start fighting at home, quarreling, arguing at home with their spouses, with their children, with their siblings, cutting off relationships. Allahu Akbar. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated in the glorious Quran, they ask you about drinking and gambling. Say, there is great harm in both. Although there is some benefit for men, but their sin is greater than their benefit. And so we should ponder over this. Ponder over this verse. Their sin is greater than their benefit. If a person wins big, we know it's haram. Let's say 100,000. Let's say 1,000,000. Think that I've got 100,000 or 1,000,000 impurities. You want to get rid of impurities from you. Smelling, bad smelling impurities. Stinking impurities. If you had that, you would want to run away far from that. And not have nothing to do, anything to do with that. So this is how we need to train the brain. And subhanAllah, if you keep advising, keep making dua, inshallah al-kareem, one day that person will quit. Yes, there are facilities, there are places or institutes where gamblers, where alcoholics or drug addicts, like the rehab, etc., where they try to make the minds. But you individually or collectively as a family or a friend, continue making the mind. If the gambler's friends are gamblers, if the person's friends are drug addicts, are alcoholics, and he moves around with them, what do you think they're going to do? That's a loss in your life. You need to cut all of these losses. They are no good. They are unhealthy for you. They are not friends. They are just holding you down, pulling you down into the swamp of sins. Many gamblers, they reach acute depression. They become suicidal. Many commit suicide. Allahu Akbar. Because they can't manage it anymore. So many loans have taken to feed this habit. This is how we need to make the mind. We need to make the mind that it's a sin. There's punishment for this. What if when you are committing that evil of gambling, the angel of death arrives? Then what are you going to do then? You're not going to get some time to make tawbah or to stop your gambling. Now is the time to stop the gambling or whatever other evil or bad habit is there. Whilst we have a chance, whilst we are alive, we are breathing, we have ability now. So inshallah ta'ala, in these ways, we can help condition the mind of a person who is addicted to gambling. They need to be in good company. Come into Dawood Islami. Dawood Islami is like the best company you will find that's around. And you will be hearing about these things. You will be hearing about consequences of gambling and other evils. You'll be hearing about how to go about leaving, shedding those sins by being in good company, by being in pious company, by traveling with qafilas, by attending the ijtima. Slowly but surely, that filth of liking this evil habit of gambling or any other evil habit will leave the heart. But we have to be in the right company. We have to be with the right people as well. Please go ahead with the next call. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Mawlana Sahab, hope you are keeping well. Jazakallah for educating us. My question for today is, what steps can a person take to control their desires and how detrimental is it if they don't? Jazakumullah.
Ameen wa iyyakum. The desires, if you're talking about the nafs, Nafsul ammara, those desires, the ego, the self. We all have it. And it's like an ally of shaitan. It works together with shaitan to urge a person constantly to fulfill evil desires, to fulfill bad things, to do bad things. And so we have to be on guard. And it's not a once-off thing. I'm going to share some wada'if, inshallah al-kareem. But let me mention a few madani pearls, a few narrations as well, regarding the evil of the nafs, how it tricks people. And if I do not control it, it's going to end up controlling me. The pious predecessors, if you read their lives, no, you'll come to understand that they had complete control over their desires. They overpowered their nafs. And so Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, had mercy on them and granted them special privileges, granted them karamat, saintly miracles, granted them steadfastness on the deen. One of the greatest miracles of theirs is that they were steadfast on the Sharia, Islamic sacred law. And one of those ways, yes, a wali is chosen by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but one of the ways is that to control the desires. Now we need to understand, put things into perspective. What are those things that flare up the desires, that feed the nafsul ammara, that feed the desires? And I can tell you, one of the things right on the top of the list is the entertainment industry. Those movies and dramas, those series that are out there. And right on the top of the list, clubs. These are breeding grounds for shaitan, like his offices, his headquarters. Shaitan is like the CEO of the entertainment industry. That's his marketing machine, where he promotes all filth, immorality, immodesty, lewdness. He promotes alcohol and drugs and clubs and pubs and all of that filth that's there. He promotes it through entertainment. And if a person is watching and saying that, I just watch for entertainment purposes, then guess what? They got you exactly where they want you. That's where they want you, with that mindset. So they can keep feeding you. They can keep conditioning your mind. And the same is true with social media, with the internet. If we are not using it in a healthy way. Take for example, recently the head of the Shura of Dawud Islami, Hazrat Maulana Haji Muhammad Imran At-Tari, mentioned something so profound. He says that if you are alone, nobody's in the house, and you have an internet connection, maybe data or Wi-Fi, high speed, what are you going to watch? What clips are you going to watch? ask yourself that question. I need to ask myself as well. Nobody is there. I'm all alone. I've got internet. Nice high speed, fast speed. What am I going to watch? The desires is going to give you some advice. Shaitan is going to come and whisper to you, hey, nobody's around, man. Don't worry. Allahu Akbar. Think about it. Something else to think about. In this same scenario, imagine you're alone. You have all these facilities, internet, lovely phone, and high-speed connection, powerful signal, but you've got cameras all around in every room. Cameras watching your every move. And you know people are watching you via those cameras. Cameras watching your online content. If you open your laptop, your tablet, or your phone, what are you going to watch? Ask yourself that. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Maybe we forget that the angels have pens, kiraman katibin, they're ready to write down everything we do, everything we say, everything we see, everything we hear, they're ready to write it down. And maybe we forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-sami' al-basir, the all-seeing, the all-hearing. Maybe we forget these things. Huh? Many of the social media platforms, the entertainment industry, whether it's the acting industry or the music industry, they encourage premarital relationships. They encourage extramarital relationships. So we can't negate the influence that they have. Neither the role of mobile devices, our phones, social media chats. So many people are chatting online with people they don't know, with the opposite gender, people they don't know, who are strangers. Don't we know that observing a veil with strangers and non-mahram relatives, by observing a veil, leads to goodness in both the worlds. And informal relationships between men and women, boys and girls, Allahu Akbar, could lead to extremely dangerous consequences. These premarital relationships that are there, they are not allowed in Islam, full stop. Not allowed. And psychologists are saying today, people who indulge in this, they have emotional scarring. And then when they go to settle down in marriage and nikah, they enter with emotional baggage and with high expectations from the individual, which they cannot fulfill, and that will lead to a breakdown in the marriage. Whatever Islam prohibits, it's because that thing is not good for us. That thing will lead to our destruction, to disaster. One must observe a veil from his wife's sister, brother's wife, paternal uncle's wife, maternal uncle's wife, cousins, cousins of the opposite gender. The Prophet of Mercy, the Prophet of Rahmah, the intercessor of the Ummah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has told us, has warned us, when a man is alone with a strange woman, Satan must be the third one. The great scholar, Hakim al-Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Na'imi, rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, has commented on this blessed hadith. And he says that whenever a man is alone with a strange woman, however pious they might be, even if they are together for a religious cause, Shaitan, the devil, Satan, he will most certainly activate evil between them and arouse their sensual emotions. There's a danger of them committing sin. And so one must be very cautious of such seclusion. It's necessary to avoid the causes of evil, as it is to avoid the fever, cure the flu and cold. So avoiding the evil is one thing. Avoid the pathways to that evil as well. Alright, here's some very simple, very easy wada'if. To that person who feels that, you know, my desires are overpowering me. I always succumb to my desires, my nafs. The evil desires that my nafs tries to influence me towards, I give in. What can I do? 5 daily salahs is a must. Make dua after every salah. Ask Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you strength to remove these desires. Recite regularly, Ya Ghaffaru, Ya Ghaffaru, Ya Ghaffaru. Inshallahul Kareem, that person will be freed from the evil desires of the lower self, the nafs. Also, whoever is overpowered by the nafsul ammara, the immoral inner self, should recite throughout the day, every day, Ya Khabiru, Ya Khabiru, Ya Khabiru. Like that, recite regularly, Ya Afuwu, Ya Afuwu, Ya Afuwu. So these 3 short, simple, and beautiful wada'if, these sifat of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recite regularly, inshallahul kareem, that person will start overpowering the desires. Ya Ghaffaru, Ya Khabiru, Ya Afuwu. And stay away from those people that take you to evil places. As we mentioned previously with the gambling problem, stay away from those people. They are no good. They are unhealthy for you. Be in good company. Be in pious company. Be around those people, or surround yourself with those who remind you of your duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your duties as a Muslim, who remind you, where there's constant reminders that, hey, be careful of the nafs, be careful of shaitan. These are really good friends who take you to the masjid, who remind you about salah and other obligatory acts of Islam. We'll request our team to please go ahead with another call. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
With the honorable hosts, dear listeners, brother, my question today is, how does emotional intelligence foster a better society? If you could basically clarify, and if you could highlight some points, I would greatly appreciate it, inshallah.
Inshallah, Sujal. This is a buzzword of recent, emotional intelligence. What is it? What is it all about? Emotional intelligence, EI, as they call it. Not AI, artificial intelligence. EI, emotional intelligence. Of course, it's to do with the emotions. It's also called emotional quotient, EQ. You know how they have IQ, intelligence quotient? So this is emotional quotient, EQ. So it's called EI, EQ as well. And this is the ability to understand, to use, and to manage your own emotions and to recognize how to influence the emotion of others. So there are some key elements that are associated with EI, emotional intelligence. According to the experts, they say some of those key elements and factors are self-awareness, self-regulation, motivation, social skills, interpersonal skills, empathy. And we can add in the anger management as well, the ability to control your anger and let it out towards something productive and positive. Self-awareness, that you recognize your own emotions, because everybody has their own temperaments. Some people are hot-headed, they get angry quickly. You see, our deen teaches us all of these things, but all these fancy terminologies and concepts that we have today, like conflict resolution and time management and anger management and self-management, all of these things exist in Islam without these flowery and, you know, nice terms. But they are there. You will find it. You will find it in the life of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who had better management, time management, anger management, all of the, who had better than him these skills, these talents, these characteristics, these traits? Of course, nobody. He is the perfect human being. And he taught us. He taught us these things. He taught us about emotional intelligence as well. Ability to control yourself. Part of that is discipline as well. Self-discipline. They say that so many people are addicted to dopamine. Become addicted to discipline. This is important for us. It will help us to control our emotions and our responses, that we don't respond with emotions and then say anything or do anything. When a person is upset or enraged or angry, when a person feels sad, we need to manage ourselves. We need to become aware of our emotional conditions, our emotional state, and how they affect my behavior, my thoughts, my responses, what are my strengths, my weaknesses, social awareness. To have empathy, not just sympathy, not just feeling sorry for the person. Maybe the person is going through some difficulty. Not just feeling sorry, but understanding their situation from their perspective. Walking around in their shoes. This is empathy. That we try to understand what they are going through, their emotions, their needs, their concerns. To pick up on emotional cues. So recognize the power dynamics in a group, in an organization. Relationship management, all of these things will fall under this. And subhanAllah, if you can control your emotions, that you don't have outbursts emotionally, then many things you can shape, many positive outcomes you can attain. The beloved Prophet of Mercy, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the mercy to all the universes, sent by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, study his seerah. With good intentions, you'll earn thawab. Study his seerah. What was and how was his relationship with his honorable wives? Azwaj-e Mutahharat, radiyallahu ta'ala anhunna. What was his relationship with children? With his own children, with his grandchildren, Hasanain, Karimain, radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. With his companions, with people in general, even with animals. He was a master when it came to what we call today emotional intelligence. You study it. Believe me, you apply it. You will see great outcomes. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from. May Allah heal you from whatever pain.